Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the very first Tuesday talk show here on the 2024. I'm Chuck Benson, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. We'll expect your phone calls after the top of the hour news, and hold them until then. If you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270, and we'll put you on the air live. You'll know that's coming just as soon as you hear the radio coming through your telephone. That means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, you're on. And welcome to the microphones of KAJO today. Two Grants Pass City Councilors. We have Vanessa Hoge and Rick Riker in studio. And we want to thank you very much for showing up here on the very first work day of 2024. Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year, Chuck.
Happy New Year.
And I won't ask how the last weekend went for you, but I will ask, because both of you are, at this point are veterans of the City Council, to take a look at the last year and point out what you think might be the highlight for the council from last year. Vanessa, ladies first.
The highlight for the council last year, I think that's a really great question. I think one of the biggest highlights was the implementation of the Sustainability and Energy Action Program. Mm-hmm. And although we have not yet worked towards knocking out all of those projects within that, it has the capacity to save the city $2 million a year in energy costs. And so I look forward to the slow implementation of all those different projects and the cost savings that comes with it. I think that may have been one of our biggest accomplishments. A couple of others worth noting is the Lawn Ridge and Washington Historical Overlay District. Mm-hmm. That was also a project that came from our Historical Buildings and Sites Commission. The Sustainability and Energy Action Plan also came from a committee. So it's also worth recognizing that these were, grassroots, ideas from these committees that we rely so heavily on for knowledge. So I think that that was a success. That was a really long time coming. I think that idea started back in 2018. So it's nice to finally see that come to fruition.
Let me ask a question about that sustainability committee, because yeah. I understand initially there was a tough time filling all of the positions on that committee. Is it full now, or are you still looking for people?
I think it's full. I haven't seen anything on our future agenda to appoint anyone to that committee. Mm-hmm. So believe it may be full.
Okay. I think it's full, but also the committee is very small compared to what it was originally.
Ah, okay, because I know it was fairly large initially.
Yes, the task force was a 15-member task force, and so the committee is boiled down.
Oh, all right. Vanessa, you still had a list of things?
And I think one more worth noting is the establishment of a parklet program. And this is an annual program for our downtown merchants or restaurant merchants to allow dining in the outdoors.
Oh, all right. All right, Rick, same question for you, my friend. What, as you look back on the past year, is there a highlight here that the council was involved in or that you personally really thought was a good thing for the city?
I think there's two areas. One is we've gotten some grants for the water treatment plant to bring the cost down. Another is on the heat exchanger at the new plant down there, which we take the flare from the gas and create energy.
We capture the methane and yes. use it to re-energize everything there, saving lots of electricity.
Yes, and that's... That's a good thing down there. And over time, the city council has been involved with that.
Okay. Now, on the other side of that, look into your crystal balls and exactly what do you foresee for the future for this next year for the Grants Pass City Council? What's your biggest challenge right now? What do you hope to accomplish, Vanessa?
Well, public safety. Yeah, certainly. That's a big thing. We need to show that we have full support and we're behind them. And the majority of the council is behind public safety.
All right, to that end, do we know where we stand with public safety yet? We know that the levy passed, so that's fine. Is there a direction that the council that you can foresee going towards how to supplement that funding source?
Yeah, back in December, the council had heard back the survey results.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, we heard back from the survey results, and there was pretty mixed support for food and beverage tax and a utility fee. And there were different combinations on there. You know, it was, there were standalone, those funding mechanisms, and then there were options for them to be, some type of mixed version. And so, the council had agreed with the fire chief and the police chief for their next year. They have a recommendation. And we had decided to move forward with that recommendation, which is, 4 new FTEs in police and support and 3 new FTEs in fire, along with a parks FTE. So now that we have determined what the next year is going to look like for in terms of levels of service, we now have the job to match the funding mechanism to meet that. So
I have to figure out how to pay for it.
Yeah, yes. Exactly, how to pay for it. And so I anticipate that that'll be our next workshop on the 8th, this coming Monday.
Do you have a feel for how your fellow counselors might lean towards one of those particular options that the public was given? Nobody's locked into anything at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think everyone, you know, kind of has a different idea. Some people are in support of a full-out sales tax because in terms of equitability, it reaches more wallets, whereas a utility fee only reaches the residents that live here. A sales tax would reach people that come from out of the area. It reaches tourists. And per dollar spent, those that have lower income households, they typically would spend more on that because these are, the sales tax would be focused towards things that are not luxury, that's not the correct term, but things that are extras. Whereas you can't escape a utility fee. Everyone needs water. But then again, there are some people that feel strongly that we need to implement a utility fee so that we can, receive revenue from nonprofits. And so, some people think that a food and beverage tax is the most, is a good idea because, you could gain in a lot. We have a lot of restaurants and it doesn't have to be a high amount. So it really depends on who you ask.
Okay. So let's see. We have 8 counselors. Do we have 8 different opinions? Is that what I'm hearing?
To some degree. But I think we feel we don't want to concentrate on just one area to spread it out, mm-hmm. sort of like a 3-legged stool. And as we go forward on the 8th, we will be discussing revenue sources and where we want to go. And I think the biggest challenge there will to see the entire picture of what the financial demand is.
Yeah. I think it's for myself and what I know right now, I would like to also see a mix of revenue sources. I would like to see something like a small food and beverage tax and a utility fee, because then it's not one user group is stuck with the bill. Essentially, we can help spread it out a little bit.
All right. Is that where you're at, Rick?
I'm on board with Vanessa. I think the utility fee at this time and food and beverage tax would be the easiest way to go. I realize in a perfect world, maybe the sales tax is the way, but I don't feel, my gut feeling is we won't be going there.
And the sales tax is tricky because if this was a discussion that maybe we were having 3 or 4 years ago, we might have more time, but we are facing a really short timeline on establishing new revenue. We have committed in this next year that we want to hire additional FTE, and we also have a budget cycle coming up. So, unfortunately, I feel like the timeline for that large of a discussion may have passed.
So what I'm hearing is the opinion is that we will at least have a utility fee of some sort at some level, plus one of the other options melted in, like Rick said, that 3-legged stool to support public safety locally. And you say that we've got a timeline here. We've got to do this fairly quickly. Do we have an idea when a decision might be made?
I don't know that, but one other aspect that's been promoted to phase the fee in with the stepping, and I think that would really help overall, but until we really get into all the details of the resources and the money that would be generated, we don't really have an answer. But I think coming up with a decision should be the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
All right. The survey that we sent out, and once again, the council can implement anything that they desire, anything that they can vote on, doesn't have to go before the people. Can you give me an idea of how many people really responded to the survey that you asked?
I think it was around, was it 400?
I want to say it was 400, yes.
Yeah, around 400, which I thought was a pretty good turnout.
That's probably a pretty good turnout from what I was expecting. I didn't realize it was that high. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's 400 giving you their opinion on 40,000 people. At any rate, we'll be watching all of this. So by all means, keep us informed. Let's see, where are we with time? All right. We have a little break to get to right now, and we'll be right back with our city councilors, Rick Riker and Vanessa Ogier, right here on KAJO Radio.
Comfort is.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress here. City Councilors Vanessa Ogier and Rick Riker are in studio. And once again, we thank them for showing up here on this second day of, is it the second day of, of 2024 already of, I'm behind. Let's talk about City Council right now and look ahead. Do we have any idea if the Supreme Court is going to get to, the injunction that is, really holding Grants Pass hostage here, or at least our city parks hostage? Do we have any forecast on if that's going to be seen or heard?
I think what we know right now is this is the year that we expect to hear something. We don't know if we will or not, but there is a heavy expectation that we'll at least know if they have decided to hear it or have not decided to hear it.
So we're hoping for a decision this year, or at least getting it before the court.
And I think Augustus, our attorney, indicated probably, in fact, we have another attorney from League of Oregon.
Salem.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I think they expect a decision whether they will discuss it like in the spring, and then we would anticipate a decision if they will discuss it come this summer or later. But one thing that's very unusual about this case, we've had other, I want to say roughly 20 other participants that have come alongside of us, which include the state of California, I think San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle. And that's very unusual to have additional participants in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. There's a technical name for those people. Do you remember?
I don't recall.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we know that certainly everyone on the West Coast is interested in this decision. And it's not just on the West Coast either. This stretches coast to coast. People are watching for this particular decision because evidently the problem is pretty widespread. Mm-hmm. All right. To that end, to another topic, and that's our housing situation here in Grants Pass. And the City Council just recently put out a request for interest, I think was the way it was phrased, to find out who is interested in building low-cost housing and if there is land available. What's the status there? Have we received any interest yet? Do we know?
I don't know of the interest received. I think that was a 60 or 90-day window. So it's still open at this time, and that's for an 8-acre tract of land off of Allenwood Drive. And we know that those types of parcels are really unique at this day and age, so I really look forward to seeing what creative ideas might come out of that.
All right. What's the council prepared to do in order to incentivize those housing units to go in?
You want to take that one, Rick?
We have. Well, we
jump
have
in here, Rick.
We have different grants that we can give. I mean, again, you have to qualify for the grant, but one of the things would be SDC waiver certain SDC fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even incentivizing the reduced cost of the land itself as well is another possibility.
Okay, so the land is available, so the developer will have to buy the land. Is that what I heard?
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to buy the land, but they will have the opportunity to, quote, make a little profit off of this situation. Is that how you incentivize a builder? Is that what we're offering?
I think you pretty much have to, if you're going to have any activity, have the builder have the opportunity for profit. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge for all of us is, again, we can be shooting ourselves in the foot. We need money for infrastructure, and every time we waive an SDC fee, we take money away.
You lose that money.
Yes.
And money seems to be the overriding situation here for probably any government entity this time of year or during this stage of our development. So are there extra streams of revenue that we're looking for in terms of some help coming in for, one, public safety, two, housing? Are we getting anything from the state? Are we getting anything from the federal government? Have we reached out?
In terms of revenue streams, right now the STC incentivizing fund, mm-hmm. that comes from the sale of surplus property. So unfortunately, that's a finite account. We only have so much property we could liquidate. So I know another possibility is the Urban Renewal Agency for housing. We do have a housing program under the Urban Renewal Agency. The only caveat to that is that it has to be in the Urban Renewal District. And so that is a really specific cutout of land within the city of Grants Pass. It does not extend to a project like Allenwood or Allen Creek. So outside of that, our state partners, I don't know of any state funds at this time working its way down. And I know the federal government a few years ago gave us some ARPA funds, but that's about the extent of it to my knowledge.
All right. No, you can't nod your head, Rick. You have to say. All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Our guest today, City Councilors Rick Riker and Vanessa Ogier. Looking ahead, biggest problems coming up for the city of Grants Pass. Now, we've identified housing and we've identified public safety. Are there things that you're dealing with on a daily basis? And I know it's been a while since you've had a meeting, and will be a while before you have a next meeting. You mentioned it's coming up on the 8th?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Will there be one meeting or two this month without a calendar here in front of me?
Two.
Oh, okay. All right. That means I have to readjust my calendar. All right. So on the 8th, do we have any idea what's coming up? And we know we've got workshops prior to that. What are you going to be dealing with? Is it, again, the funding for public safety that you'll be working on primarily?
Yes.
All right. That being said, and we've talked about that pretty extensively so far, any predictions, or is there anything else that could happen that would affect that right now?
I don't know if anything could happen. It's hard to say. I wish I had my crystal ball with me, but I left it at home. I think...
Not going to go to the end of the rainbow and find a pot of gold.
You know, it depends. Will councilors come prepared to make a decision? Will they have questions from the presentation? It's hard to say, but I am hoping that... You know, we have really mulled this over time and time again, so I'm hoping that we can come to a decision and put it behind us. I know our fire and our police professionals are watching, and they are waiting, and I think that they deserve to hear some results.
All right. Well, first of all, let me say that I certainly applaud the incentive to add boots on the ground for both police and fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's significantly needed.
Yes.
Second thing in a row is I see... Just from watching the city council, that there are a couple of factions that want to go one way and a couple of factions that won't go the other. How close can we come to getting a majority decision on this?
Yeah, that can play a difficulty. Earlier you asked, there's eight of us, you know, do we all mm-hmm. have different opinions? And that's sometimes the issue that we have, is that
there's eight different opinions.
Well,
yeah.
we don't have a majority. Is mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we'll have three people here, you know, one person here. So it can get broken up in that way. So if we did have a majority on that, that would be wonderful. Cause then, like I said, we can move forward and put it behind us.
Okay. Are you getting any feedback from, the people right now wanting you to move forward or wondering why, and we talked about this off mic earlier, the wheels of government turn very, very slow sometimes. And I know there's an effort to make sure that you get the right things done at the right time. But what are your constituents telling you?
Well, I'm hearing that we've been elected to make decisions, and they put us in that place to make a decision. Therefore, we should go forward. And I think enough of us are comfortable with that assignment. So that's not a problem.
All right. Mm-hmm. But we've not had a decision made yet.
Correct.
Well, not a final decision, but again, even when we make our decision, you still have to go through different processes of adopting an ordinance and so forth.
All right. Once a decision's made, how long before you can institute it?
I want to say 60 to 90 days, but I don't keep track of all those.
Yeah, and I think it would depend on the funding mechanism as well. You know, I think for something like a food and beverage tax, you would have to, you know, potentially reach out to a third party that, you know, has a software to implement a program like that. You want to give businesses the opportunity to gear up for something like that. So it really depends on the funding mechanism.
Right. But the utility fee, you could institute it instantly.
We've used that before. So, mm-hmm. yes, that would be true.
Yeah. All right. Let's first of all talk about how busy you've been over the holidays. And I know it's been a while since you've had a meeting. We just discussed that real briefly here. And it will be the 8th before your next meeting. And I think that Monday before that is a workshop. So what have you been doing for city business? Has it been on hold? Anything that you've been dealing with, or is it all up to the city manager right now?
Pretty much the city manager. And one thing he's been doing lately, he's been doing interviews for a new fire chief. So that will really be helpful because we had a survey that was done. They called it a 360. And one thing the fire personnel indicated, they need leadership.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we're looking for new leadership at Fire and Rescue. Are you happy with what's going on with the city police department?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm.
They have challenges right now. I think they're down. They have three people out on maternity benefit from the state of Oregon. And then they have, anytime there's a shooting, those people are on automatic leave. And I think two other officers were injured in the park. So we would like to, it's been a challenge.
Look for some reinforcements. See?
Yeah.
At any rate. Okay. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We're coming up to news at the top of the hour here from the Salem Radio Network. We ask you to stay tuned for that. And to that end, after the top of the hour news, we'll invite your phone calls. The number to call, if you want to jot that down now, is 541-472-1270. 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, once again, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and all around the world on KAJO.com.
Winter stock reduction.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Glad that you've chosen to join us here this morning. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, this is the time to place your call. It's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the current thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Once again, when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next, and we'll put you on the air live. Our guests, Grants Pass City Councilors Vanessa Ogier and Rick Riker, both in studio today. And once again, thank you very much for your time. And tell me about your time with the city council right now. How much time does it really take to be a councilor here? And what do you face, and what's good about it, and what is it? I wish I didn't have to do this. You've been a veteran for a long time, so go ahead.
Yes. I think you have to pick and choose how many committees you want to be on. Some people can't say no at all. Valerie Lovelace is very good at saying yes for everything. Also, the amount of detail you go into different issues that are before you. When Dennis Roller was on the council, he read the entire packet that was presented to us from cover to cover. But he was a good reader, and I think he was a fast reader.
You measure those packets in inches, too, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. Okay. So I go in and I pick and choose which subject, but we also need to at least be up to speed on what issues are being presented to us so we can make a proper decision.
As a council yourselves, do you pick and choose areas that different people have to make sure that everybody is covered? Do you share those responsibilities, or does everybody have one place to go, or what?
We have one place to go as far as the committees that we're on. But when it comes to making decisions and disseminating information among ourselves, we have to be careful of that because while I've always felt it would be nice for us to have one counselor that does a report on an issue that's there, it can have the tendency of making decisions or having a direction going a certain way. So we need to be sensitive on that. So in many cases, I don't know. We don't get to always express, maybe to a few of our other counselors, but actually our position or viewpoints.
Mm-hmm. What committees do you serve on, Rick?
I'm on solid waste and the MPO committee.
Okay. Metropolitan Organization.
Yes.
All right. Tell me about that. Tell me about the MPO here and what it's meant for Grants Pass, because it's a relatively new thing with the last few years.
Well, it's one of our committees that reviews different transportation projects. Statewide and also locally, and it involves Gold Hill and Rogue River and, of course, Grants Pass.
So all of those are in that same organization, in that same MPO?
Yes. Somebody took out their crayon and colored in so that the going down the freeway that Gold Hill and Rogue River can be included.
Took out their crayon. Okay. That was at the state level because nobody here would do that. Yeah. But that MPO has to have a certain population in order to be a real organization. Is that an accurate statement?
That's an accurate statement. And unfortunately, it took us from being a rural community into an urban community. And it really creates a lot of consternation for us when we look at voting on something or having to do something that it's really not always appropriate here. The biggest casualty I perceive is that when it comes to requirements for parking, Salem basically doesn't want us to have any parking, you know, this extreme, because we can just hop on a bus or have some other method of transportation. But for Grants Pass, you pretty much need a car.
Yeah, consternation. Good choice of words here. And I suspect that there's more behind that. So I'm going to delve into that. Was it good or bad? Good for Grants Pass, or is it a real pain? Has it cost us something? Has it benefited us?
Well, I have a conflict of interest because I'm a land use planner, and whenever I put a project together, whether it's housing or a subdivision or commercial use, you need to have adequate parking. And it really disturbs me that, especially for housing now, the new rules are coming out from Salem that you don't need to provide the degree that's really necessary to satisfy the occupants that are in that house. And what I see over time, and I think most people hopefully won't want to go there, over time, if the housing project does not provide parking, then all that parking is going to end up being on the street. And I think the other people in the neighborhood will really be up at arms that there's inadequate parking and they can't get out of their own driveway or can't have friends to come visit because the street's always full of somebody else's car.
All right. Do we have any influence in, and that came out of Salem. Do we have any influence in Salem? We have a counselor who might have some influence in Salem. Is that something we need to deal with now?
Well, we have a counselor that's going there. Whether he will take that as part of his agenda, I don't know.
Okay. And last word was he intends to at least stay on for the time being as a city counselor. So as I understand, is that what everybody understands?
What I've heard, he's intended to keep his position on the city council and zoom in from Salem. And I think it could be a challenge, but I guess he said because it's a short session, he thinks he can make it work. Mm-hmm. The other complication I have is when he's setting agendas and different laws in Salem, and I'm not a legal person, but does it present any conflict of interest when you're on two different bodies, legislative bodies?
What do we need to do to get an ear in Salem? Because we've been unable to really present what is going on in Southern Oregon very well, have we? Is that a fair assessment?
I think your former boss...
He's been out of it for a while now, and he's not my former boss yet. Technically, he is still my boss. And
but I think
as a matter of fact, he was here yesterday afternoon working.
But I think he got very frustrated with what was going on in Salem.
Absolutely.
That I want to say it was a waste of time, but it was very, it was not productive. There was lack of representation or recognition for Southern Oregon.
We just don't have a big enough voice up there.
Yes.
All right. And what remains to be seen. All right, let's move over to Vanessa. All right. Vanessa, same topic here. Where do you stand in this particular situation?
In terms of what committees I serve on?
Yes.
I serve on the Committee of Public Art as a liaison and also the previous Josephine County Emergency Management, which was a quarterly gathering, but since there has been a change in leadership at the emergency management at the county, those meetings have not been held. So I'm hoping that we can revamp those this year and get all of our emergency management partners together again.
All right. In your opinion, do we need to get that together again with the county? Because it's a combination city and county committee, is it not?
Yeah, it is a city county committee, but it's really a regional committee. I value those meetings. I think that they're very important to get the regional meteorologist in, to get fire chiefs from around the area in, to get differing police chiefs in the same room, to get electrical utility regional representatives, and have all of those people talk about what they've been working on, how they can work together. I think that it's really, really important.
If that is not happening, does that put part of the county in jeopardy, the city or the county?
I don't know enough to say. I'm sure that those leaders are still working together behind the scenes, you know, maybe as issues arise, but I think it provides an opportunity for increased efficiency and the prevention of duplication of efforts, possibly, and maybe just a way to strengthen each other in a proactive way. But I think without those meetings, it may force people to be more reactive.
Going forward with that that same thought, do we need to have it reconstituted, put back into position? You said you were looking forward to that. Is there a timeline? Is that going to happen?
I have spoken with a representative in emergency management at the county, and that was shortly after Mr. Sellers was appointed as the new emergency manager. At that time, there was onboarding still going on, and so I need to touch base again and see. I think that was, you know, mid last year, so I think that I need to touch base again and see, now that the new year has rolled over, what the status of that is and if it's even prioritized.
All right. You mentioned that you serve on the Committee of Public Art, mm-hmm. which has been getting a lot of press here recently, as a matter of fact. All to beautify downtown. What is the real goal of this Committee on Public Art?
I think to institute more art wherever they can, if that's on the side of the building, if that's on the sidewalk, if that's, you know, an art piece installation, you know, like a three-dimensional installation. I know right now that they have an open call for artists. There is a project to create a wing mural on 5th and G, I believe it is. I think it's Deb's Auto Glass building. They want like a social media worthy mural that you can interact with and tag online so that tourists can see it. The project itself is really cool. The mural will be painted by 8 high school students, and the call for artists is an artist that can gather those students and organize them and oversee the project.
So the artist, the responding artist that's not chosen yet, won't be doing any of the painting, but it'll be supervising the students for that.
I don't know that they won't be doing any of the painting. They may say, you know, this is an art trick that I know, or maybe mix the colors in these ways. I'm not an artist, so I can't speak on that. But with the little knowledge I have, they might be helping in that way. But it's mostly, you know, to keep the teenagers organized and to keep the cats herded, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, cats. Okay. Are there outlines for this that the council will have to, or the committee will have to approve, or does it go to a council approval to get the final design before they put paint to a building?
I think it's just outside of the historical district, like maybe a few feet. If not, it might be at the very outer edge of it. So I don't know that it will need council approval. It's only a $3,500 project, so I don't know that it will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you say only a $3,500 project, in the grand scheme of things, and with the city budget, that is a very, very small amount. Mm-hmm. We continue to spend very small amounts in different areas that turns out to a big amount. Where does the value come from? How does that enhance the value of the city of Grants Pass or the Committee of Public Art?
It's hard to quantify art. I think that this is an age-old...
It's in the eye of the beholder.
It's an age-old discussion, but I think if I had to tie it to anything, I would tie it to the broken windows theory, where if you see a dilapidated broken window building, you're less likely to respect that space and less likely to go out of your way to take care of it and maybe pick up the trash outside. But if you see a space that is well-kept and you're inspired by maybe different color palette or how well the area is kept, you're more likely to proliferate that behavior. And so it is really hard to quantify art, but I think it improves a space in which it encourages others to help take care of it.
All right. Well, certainly a certain noble aspiration, certainly there. How many people in the Committee of Public Art? How often does it meet? It seems to be fairly active.
It is a very active committee. I am so proud of all of the work that they put out. They meet once a month, and I think, you know, at any given time they have one or two projects at minimum that they are working towards completing.
Oh, okay. Let's move on here a little bit, and we've talked about the future of Grants Pass right now. in the immediate future, what are your people telling you? First of all, Rick, let's go back to you. What are you hearing from your constituents right now? What do they want you to complete here in the coming year or in the next meeting? Or what's their biggest complaint outside of people in the parks? Or is that it?
I don't know if I would use the word complaint, but I think there's concern of permanent funding for public safety. And I think we need to come up with a resolution, and the sooner we do, the better.
All right, well, we'll have to echo that. The sooner you come up with a way or a path, I think it's going to be better for it, for the city, not only for the agencies themselves, but for the public conception of what's going on. At least everybody will know. Right now, everyone's still scratching their heads. All right, Vanessa, same question for you. In terms of, well, what are you hearing from your constituents to, can you echo what Rick had to say?
It really would be an echo. Since that survey was put out, that really has been what's fresh on people's minds, and the newspaper reporting on it. Every time that we talk about it, it is fresh in people's minds that they want something done with public safety, if that's, you know, the funding mechanism that they advocate for, or they just want more police on the ground. And then also, I know you said accept homeless in the parks, but that is still one of the biggest things that I'm hearing from people, is to a lot of encouragement to help build a homeless shelter site, so that hopefully the people that can, you know, that do want the help and can help themselves with a little hand up can help get out of the parks, so that the police can really narrow down on the people that are just there to cause trouble.
Any foreseeable action on a location like that, a shelter?
I don't know about a location, but there is a couple of really motivated groups in Grants Pass that volunteer their time towards issues of homelessness. And I have a lot of faith that they will be able to not only find a location, but to get grant partners together and help create something. I think that they may need a little bit of assistance from the city. So it's nice that I think that these groups are really spearheading it, whereas the city was attempting to do that before and came up short.
All right. Of course, it's always the nut in my neighborhood situation when you're dealing with a place to put put in quotes the homeless or the unhoused population there, the ones that really want that hand up. And we know that there are a portion of those, and then there are some who won't go to any shelter at all. Mm-hmm. So are these agencies close to moving? Do we have any information? Do we have any insights if something is happening on the horizon? Are we talking this year, or are we still just talking pie in the sky?
I don't know in terms of a permanent homeless shelter site, but I do know that we'll have, I think, two warming centers this winter, and I anticipate them coming online, either this week, next week, or the week following, the next few weeks.
What two locations?
One at the top of town and one south of the river.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
One was the Spark location up there at Washington and Morgan, I believe.
Okay.
They have, UCAN has been able to acquire that facility, and we'll be establishing that as soon as they're able to satisfy all the permits and regulations. Mm-hmm. And the other is Mint, mm-hmm. and they're down, they've been able to lease a building down there near Bi-Mart. Mm-hmm. So it's next to the park, and part of their focus, while it is a warming center, part of their focus is a navigation center, so those people that in the park can come up and get help during the daytime and then get different documentation and job listings and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Will the navigation center be in both locations? Will that be available to both locations? Do we know yet?
I haven't heard from UCAN whether they intend a navigation center or not. Although I think when UCAN set the one up in Roseburg, did that include a navigation center?
Yes, they do have a navigation center in Roseburg.
Okay, so yeah. That might be just a natural progression for them.
Yeah, I think that the top of town one is just going to be a warming center site. And then I think the one south of the river will offer those navigational services as well to help get the people out of the parks permanently. Whereas the other one is kind of just, you know, intervening to, you know, prevent hypothermia and potential illnesses from the cold.
All right. So when we're looking at those being open, you said relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. Within the next week or two?
I anticipate within the month of January that they would be opening, coming online.
Oh, all right.
The biggest challenge will be them meeting the fire regulations and so forth, capacity and the entry and exits and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Do we know how they'll be manned or supervised?
They'll have paid staff and volunteers, but
yeah, they usually rely heavily on volunteers.
Yeah.
All right. Now I know the city has some monies already set aside for that. Is that going to be enough to do it, or is there more coming, or do we have an idea yet?
I know we reallocated some of our American Rescue Plan dollars, the federal grant money that we received a few years ago. And so we did have a grant program, an RFP for that, where we were issuing a grant. And so I know Mint will get some of that money. And then I think that there's leftover money for the council to come back with and make a further decision on. But to my knowledge, UCAN is doing it solely from money from the state and federal partners.
All right. I want to thank you both very much for coming in today and day after our New Year's weekend. We appreciate that. I've got about a minute left. Rick, what should people take away from today's program?
I guess if they have concerns or need additional information from anybody on the city council, to give us a call or send us an email and be supportive of public safety.
All right. Once again, public safety underlying. Vanessa, what should people take away from today's program as she dives deep into her?
Who's going to pull up and see if we have any openings on any of our city committees?
Okay.
We love for new people and those that's also continuously serve to reapply and new people to come on board and get involved. Also, I think that since we are at the beginning of the year, if there is anything that people think we should work on throughout the year that they'd like to see us focus on, please reach out and let us know. Also, in less than a week, we'll have discussions on funding mechanisms. So if you still have not shared with us what direction you'd like the city to go, please do so.
Yeah, that's coming up Monday for that workshop. Is that correct? How do we contact you?
We can be reached at mayorcouncil@grantspassoregon.gov, or you could call City Hall and leave us a message.
All right. Same for you, Rick?
Yes, and we also have our personal phone numbers posted on the city site as well.
On the city site. All right. Mm-hmm. Once again, Rick Riker and Vanessa Ogier, we thank you very much for your time this morning, keeping us informed on what the city council is dealing with and the direction that we're headed for 2024. And to all of you, we want to thank you very much for your time this morning. We invite you to stay tuned. News is coming next from the Salem Radio Network. No, that is not Salem, Oregon. That is back on the East Coast. That's coming up next. Local news all the time here when it happens on KAJO Radio. Once again, this is KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, 1270 on your AM dial, 99.7 on the FM side. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Tuesday when city staff will be here in studio for the Tuesday talk show. If you're